Shalom to all! Today's Haf is about Basar Daf Samach Beis, and we are starting at the top line with the words Matzar LeMeitzar, and today's Haf is sponsored by Le'ilu Nishmas, Mars Meir Masar, Basar B'Yakov Maisha, Her Neshama Shad Avin Aliyah, Le'ilu Nishmas, Mars Rivka Basar Meir Zev, Her Neshama Shad Avin Aliyah, Le'ilu Nishmas, Mars Froma Rezal Basar B'Shalem Yaakov, Her Neshama Shad Avin Aliyah, and she should be Me'ilu Tiesher for her family and all of Klal Yisrael. We go back to discussing boundaries of a field. Beryl sold his field to Shmerel, and in the Shtar Mecher, he described the borders in somewhat of an ambiguous manner. So we have our first case, Matzar LeMeitzar Echad Arech. When you describe the borders of the field, one of them was short and one of them was long. What does that mean? So here we have a handy picture over here. It's the first one of Rashi. As you see, we have our field and three of the borders have this long black line. But the top one, the one on the north side, is Kutzer. You see it says Kutzer over there. It's short. And that's why he described it in the Shtar. He said east, west, and south are 100 amos long and the northern border is 50 amos long. Now it's unclear what he means by that. So Rav says, Loikana el Knegra Kutzer. The buyer, Shmerel, only gets corresponding to the short one. We see this lighter line drawn right down the middle from the Kutzer to halfway through the Arach, and that's all Beryl intends to give Shmerel, because on this last border, he only told him half of the entire length of the field. And so that's all he gets. He just gets half. However, Amrule Rav Kana Ravasi L'Rav. Rav Kana Ravasi asked Rav, V'yikne k'neged Rosh Tar. Why doesn't he get corresponding to Rosh Tar? And this basically means a triangle. Go to the next picture that we have in Rashi, which is a few lines down. Their question to Rav is, why are you saying that he only gets half the field? Why don't we look at that short border, which was mentioned in the Shtar, and then draw a diagonal line to the end of the long border that was mentioned? Because remember, we said that one border was 100 and the other border was 50. So great, draw a line from the end of the 50 to the end of 100, and here we have Rosh Tar. We have a triangle, which is excluded, but everything else, also ending off in a triangle, is included, which is basically three quarters of the field. Why don't we say that? And Shasuk Rav was quiet, implying that he agreed with them. Now, Maida Rav, Rav Ashur agreed to the following case, Hecha de'ika Meitzer Ruven v'Shimon Mechad Gisa, u'Meitzer Levi v'Yehuda Mechad Gisa. They found the borders of Beryl's field. We actually have four different fields owned by four separate people. Reuven and Shimon above, and Levi and Yehuda below. You could take a look at the third picture we have over here in Rashi, which clearly draws it out for us. So then for sure, Beryl intended to sell it exactly as is drawn with his Rosh Tar. And that's because he only mentioned three out of these four fields in the Shtar Mecher. All he did was write that I'm selling you my field, which is bordered by Reuven and Shimon and Yehuda, or Reuven and Shimon and Levi. And since he didn't mention that fourth field, it must be that he's only selling part of his field, which is bordered on three sides, not on all four sides. And for the clarification, how do we know that he's not just selling half of his field, like Rav holds in the first case? That's because if that was the case, he should have written for him the following, Deruvin Keneged Levi, or Udashimin Keneged Yehuda. In other words, if he just wants to sell half of his field and not three quarters of it, he should have just said, I'm selling you my field, the part that has Ruvain's field corresponding to Levi's or Shimon's corresponding to Yehuda's, and then obviously he's only selling half the field. And since once again, he mentioned three of them, Ruvain, Shimon, and Yehuda, or Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, obviously he means to sell it like Rosh Tar. That's how the Gemara concludes, Shema Mina, Keneged Rosh Tar, Huda Amar Lei. And on to another case, Meitzer Reuven Mizrach Umayriv, Umeitzer Shimon Tzafen Vidarim. On the four borders of Beryl's field, there's four fields, two of them owned by Reuven, those are the east and west ones, and two of them owned by Shimon, that's north and south. If we want to say that Beryl is selling the entire field, Tzarech L'michtav Lei, he has to write the following in the Shtar, Meitzer Reuven Ruchen Train, Umeitzer Shimon Ruchen Train. Then on two borders of my field, Reuven has field, and on two borders of my field, Shimon has fields. And we can see this very clearly from the fourth picture, a little bit down in Rashi, about a quarter of the way up from the bottom of the page. Here we see we have Beryl's field, and on the top and bottom we have Reuven's field, and on the left and right we have Shimon's field. Now, if Beryl would have written in the Shtar Mechira that the field I'm selling you, Shmerel, is bordered by Reuven and Shimon's fields, so then we would have just drawn a diagonal line like we have in our picture here in the Rashbam, because this section of the field is bordered by Reuven and Shimon's fields. And the only way it'd be obvious that Beryl is selling his entire field is if he says that it's bordered on two sides by Reuven's fields and on two sides by Shimon's fields. And now we're going to have a series of three questions. The first two are going to be illustrated by these three pictures on the bottom of the Amud, and the third one is going to be illustrated on the top of the next Amud. So the Gemara continues. Yibayluhu has the following question. Siim Lais HaKronos Mahu. Let's say all he did was talk about the corners, meaning the only thing that Beryl wrote in the Shtar is that on the corners of the field that I'm selling you, Reuven has a field on one corner, Shimon has a field on another corner, and Levi and Yehuda each have fields on the corners. So he didn't actually mention the border of the field, north, east, south, and west, he mentioned the corners. And the question is, does he mean to say whatever is found in between those corners is being sold to you, which means the whole field? Or does he just mean to say that a strip of land from one corner to another is being sold? Like we see in this first picture over here on the right-hand side, we just have an X drawn. Maybe that's all he intends to sell him. A little line from Reuven's to Yehuda's fields, another line from Shimon's to Levi's fields. Another question, Kimin Gamahu. What about if in the Shtar Mechira, Beryl did describe borders of the actual field. He didn't just mention corners, but he only described them by way of a gam. Gam refers to the letter gamma in the Greek alphabet, and it looks like an L or like a 90 degree angle, as you see drawn in the second picture, the upper one on the left hand side, and that's the way he described it. He basically said that on the northeast corner, we have Reuven's and Shimon's field, and on the southwest corner, we have Levi and Yehuda's field, and that's all he described. So on one hand, since he actually mentioned real borders of the field and didn't just mention a corner like in the previous situation, maybe he means to sell the entire field, or perhaps he only means to sell the section of his field that's in between these two right angles. As you see in the bottom picture, we have this diagonal strip which is highlighted. Maybe that's all he means to sell, and the other two corners he's retaining for himself. And now we have our third question, on top, mahu. What about if the way he described the borders in the sale was Seirugin? Take a look at this picture over here on the left-hand side, kind of looks like a square pizza pie. There was actually eight fields bordering barrels. We have on the top Reuven and Shimon, then on the left Levi and Yehuda, and on the bottom Yisachar and Zvulun, and on the right Yosef and Binyamin's. And the way that he described it was Seirugin. He alternated. Barrel had written in the shtar, then on the top is Reuven's field, on the left is Levi's, on the bottom is Yisachar's, and on the right is Yosef's. And he didn't mention the other people. He didn't mention Shimon, Yehuda, Zvulun, and Binyamin. Over here, do we say that he really intends to sell the entire field, and the only reason why he mentioned every other person is because too much of a schlep to mention all eight people's fields? Or do we say that no, he meant Dafka, and he only intended to sell the part opposite the people whom he mentioned in the shtar, and that means a shmerel ends up getting four pieces of a pizza pie. He gets a triangle by Reuven, triangle by Levi, triangle by Yisachar, and triangle by Yosef. And the Gemara concludes all these questions with the word teku. We're going to let it stand and wait for Aliyanov to come and answer it. On to another question. Matar loy meitzar rishon, umeitzar sheni, umeitzar shlishi, umeitzar vi, loy matar loy. When he described the borders of the field, he mentioned border 1, 2, and 3, but he didn't mention border 4. And over here, all four borders are covered by other people's fields. Border 1 is Reuven's field, border 2 is Shimon, border 3 is Levi, and border 4 is Yehuda's fields. But the only thing that was described in the shtar was Reuven, Shimon's, and Levi's fields, and nothing about Yehuda. And so the question is that fourth border included in the sale? We know where it ends. It ends in Yehuda's field, but maybe since it wasn't mentioned explicitly in the shtar, Beryl's not selling it, and he's retaining that strip of land for himself. So Rav tells us, Kana HaKol, Shmuel gets the entire field, Chutz Meitzar Vi, except for a strip of land by that fourth border. Shmuel and Rishmuel says, no, Afilu Meitzar Vi, he even gets the land by that fourth border. Whereas Rav Asi says, Loi Kana, Ela Talam Echad Al Pnei Kula, he only acquires one row along the entire thing. He only gets a row next to each border, like a ches, because that's the only thing that was mentioned. When Beryl mentioned in the shtar that the eastern border is Reuven's field, so that means Shmuel only gets a strip of land right next to Reuven's field. And the same thing by Shimon's field, and the same thing by Levi's field. All he does is get three strips of land like a ches. And where's Rav Asi Shita coming from? Savar l'karav, he holds like Rav, the Amar Shiri Shire, who holds that clearly Beryl is leaving something over for himself, because Rav said that Shmuel does not get that fourth strip, it's retained for the seller, Mr. Beryl. And with the Shire Meitzer, Shire Naim Bikuli. According to Rav Asi, since for sure the fourth border was left for the seller, he intends to leave the rest of the field for himself as well, and he's actually only selling three strips of land. Now Rava tells us, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Kana kol chutz meitzar vi, the Shmuel acquires entire property except for the strip of land along that fourth border. That's just like Shitas Rav. Now Veloy Amr, this is only said, El Deloy Mivla, that's if it's not swallowed or absorbed in. Avol Mivla, but if it is swallowed, Kana, so then he is Kainit. What does this mean? It's Mivla or not Mivla? Or we also have the word Muvla or not Muvla. So take a look at these two pictures side by side, a little past the halfway mark in the Rashbam. You see the right hand side says Muvla, and the left hand side says Loy Muvla. And at the top we have that bold line which indicates the beginning of Yehuda's field. So Muvla means that the beginning of Yehuda's field is flush with the other borders of Beryl's field, which means that this strip of land, this fourth border that Beryl did not mention, is absorbed into the boundaries that he did mention. Whereas when it's not Muvla, that means that Yehuda's field actually starts a little bit beyond the borders mentioned by Beryl, and therefore Beryl's actually retaining a significant strip of land for himself that's not included in those boundaries that he had mentioned in the shtar. And that's what Rav just told us, that according to Rav, the only time Beryl is retaining that strip of land for himself is if it's not Muvla, is if it's not included in the boundaries that he had mentioned in the shtar. But if it is Muvla, it's included in the boundaries they mentioned in the shtar, so then it's obviously sold to Shmerel. And for the qualification, v'chiloi Mivla namiloi Amran, even if it's not included in the boundaries, we still don't say that Beryl's retaining it for himself. Elo de'ika le richle de'diklo, that's only if it has a strip of palm trees or of a havatisha's cabin. There's enough land that 9 kav of seed could be planted here. And in either of these situations, that means that this strip of land is significant enough that it would make sense that Beryl would want to retain it for himself because he could actually plant something here. Avaleka le richle de'diklo, v'loi havatisha cabin. But if this strip of land, even though it's outside the borders that he had mentioned, it doesn't have a bunch of palm trees, or it's not not large enough to plant nine kavanit, then Kana, the buyer, Shmerel, he's kind of everything because there's no reason the barrel would leave it for himself. It's outside the borders that he had mentioned, and it's not significant enough to plant anything. Now, Mechlal, we can infer from there that the Chi Muvla, that if this strip of land was included in the borders, Afagav the Ikale Rechle Dekla, that even if it had a strip of palm trees, but Havatisha's cabin, and you could plant nine kav of seed there, nonetheless, Kana, still Shmerel is kind of it because it's Muvla within the field. Now, here we have a slightly different version. Ikdami, some say Amar Rava, that Rava had said, Helchza Kana Akol, the halacha is that Shmerel acquires everything, Afilu Meitzer Avi, even the fourth border, Veloy Amran, however, that was only said, Ella de Mivla. That's only if it's Muvla. Avaloy Muvla, if it's not Muvla, Loy Kani, so he's not kind of it. Now, Vachi Muvla, Nami Loy Amran, even if it was Muvla, we still don't necessarily say that Shmerel acquires everything, El de Lekha Lerich Ledikla, Veloy Havatisha's Kabin, that's only if it's not significant enough. It doesn't have palm trees, and you can't plant nine Kab in that strip of land. Avol Ikale Rich Ledikla, Havatisha's Kabin, but if it was a significant strip of land, it had these palm trees, and you could plant nine Kab of seed, like Hana, so then Shmerel is not kind of that strip of land, even though it was Muvla, because it's considered Chashiv enough, and we say that it must be that Beryl was retaining it for himself, and that's why he didn't mention the fourth border. Now, Mechlal, we can infer from here that the Chiloy Muvla, if this fourth boundary that was not mentioned by Beryl was not absorbed into the boundaries that he did mention, Afagav Deleka Ilay Rechav Adikla, even though it doesn't have these palm trees, Veloy Havatisha's Kabin, and nine Kav of seed cannot be planted here, like Hani, still Shmerel is not kind of it because it's out of the borders that were mentioned. Now, the bottom line is, says the Gemara, Shaminu Mitravaya Lishan Derava, that we learn from both of these Lashanis of Rava, the Besada Loi Shire Vlai Midi. Now, when a person is selling a field to somebody else, he's not Mashire something for himself. We assume that he's selling everything unless there's real reason to believe that he is being Mashire. But the basic assumption is that when he's selling the field, he's selling the whole thing. Now, Shaminu Nami, we also learn from here, the Hech the Mivla, Veleka Le Rech Vedekla, Veloi Havatisha's Kabin, that if that fourth border that was not mentioned is absorbed into the borders that were mentioned, and also this strip that wasn't mentioned is not Chashev, it doesn't have palm trees, and you can't plant nine kav of seed, Kana. For sure, Shmerel is kind of it. And also, Loi Mivla, if this fourth border was not absorbed into the other boundaries mentioned, V'ikale Rechve Dekla, V'havites Kabin, and it's also Chashev, because it has these palm trees, you could plant nine kav of seed there. Loi Kana, everyone agrees that Shmerel would not be kind of it. But now here we have the case that there's going to be a machlekes between these two Lashanis of Rava. Mivla V'ikale, let's say this fourth side that wasn't mentioned in the Shtar, was absorbed into the boundaries that were mentioned, however, it does have these palm trees on it, so on one hand, it's mashma that's included in the sale because it's Muvla, but on the other hand, it's mashma that it's not included in the sale because it's very chashuv, or the other way around, loy Mivla, it's not included in the borders, but Veleka Ale, it's not chashuv because it doesn't have these palm trees, so Itmar Lal Hai Gisa, Itmar Lal Hai Gisa, some say this way and some say that way, meaning some say it is included and some say it's not included in the sale, and bottom line is, how do we paskin? Shuda the Daini. It has to do with the Daini thinks is the proper way, he analyzes it and takes it case by case, and he'll decide if it's included in the sale or if it's not included. And moving on to more scenarios, the case we begin with is two partners that own a field, Beryl and Shmerel, and now Beryl is selling his part of the field. So Amar Rabba, Rabba tells as follows, if he had written in the shtar, Palga de Isli Ba'ara, the half that I have in the land, so Palga, he's selling the person his half of the land. He's the shutaf, he owns half, he's selling his full half. However, if what he had written in the shtar was, Palga Ba'ara de Isli, Riva, so he's only selling a quarter, because we understand this to mean half in the land that I have. And since he only has half of the land, because he's a shutaf, so that means he's selling half of his half, which is a quarter. However, Amalei Abayi told Rabba, what's the difference between this and that? There's really no difference between these two Lashonos, because we can understand the second Lashon of Palga Ba'ara de Isli as meaning, Palga Ba'ara, I'm selling you half of the land, and which half of the land am I selling you? De Isli, the half of the land that I have. Not that I'm selling you half of the land that I have, which means a quarter. I'm selling you half of this land, and I only own half of it, so I'm selling you that half. And what did Rabba respond to this? Ishtik, he was quiet, and Amar Abayi said, Ana Savri, I figured to myself, mid ishtik, from the fact that Rabba was quiet, kibuli kabla, he accepted my question on him, and he was chayzer from his shita. However, v'layhi, it's really not true. Rabba wasn't chayzer. And why is that? Because chazina hanu shtari dinafkim bei mar, I see these stars that come from the bezdin of mar, of Rabba, uksebe huhachi, and the following's written on them, palga de isli ba'ara, palga, he gets half, whereas if he wrote, palga ba'ara de isli, riva, he only gets a quarter. And so even though Rabba was quiet when I asked him this question, he wasn't chayzer from his shita. And here we have another situation, going back to our case where Beryl is selling Shmerel a field, and he was unclear of how he described the boundaries. V'amar Rabba, Rabba tells us as follows. Let's say Beryl said as follows, Meitzar aro demina palga, palga, one border that from it is palga, so he gets palga, which is a half. In other words, Beryl was selling Shmuel his field, and he told him that on the left side, it's bordered by Reuven's field, and on the right side, you get ara demina palga, that from there, the land is considered palga. So in this situation, the word palga is understood to mean half, so it basically means you get from where Reuven's field is up until half of the field. Whereas if Beryl had told Shmuel, Metzar ara demina psika, that you get from the border of the land where it will be considered psika, so then teskabin, all he gets is 9 kav. Now throughout Gemara, we see the 9 kav is the smallest piece of property which is considered chashuv. And Rabbah's understanding this lashon of Metzar ara demina psika tells us that I'm giving you a piece of property that when we separate that piece of property from my piece of property, it's considered psika, it's considered cut off. And again, as we just said, that's 9 kav because that's a minimal amount that's considered cut off from the property. And so Rabbah clearly differentiates between the word palga and the word psika. However, Mleabayabai asked Rabbah, Mashnahachi, what's the difference between this one and that one? Both the word palga and psika should mean the same thing. Why are you saying that one means half and the other one means 9 kav? And once again, Ishtik, Rabbah was quiet. And so we know that Talmidim thought, based off this conversation, this exchange between Abai and Rabbah, and Rabbah's silence, that what's the final psak, idi palga? Then in both scenarios, whether the word palga was used or the word psika was used, half of the field is being sold. However, on top, that's not so. Rav Yehiam bar Shalamya said, Abai himself explained to me that what's the final psak here? Bain meitzar ara demina palga, ubain meitzar ara demina psika. It doesn't make a difference what lashon was used, palga or psika. It really depends on the following. E amar le, ilin mitzrinoha. If he had written in the shtar, these are the borders, so then palga. He means to give him half. But loy amar le, ilin mitzrinoha, tisha kabin. If he didn't write, these are the borders, so then he's only giving him 9 kav. Why does that make a difference? Well, because what would the shtar say if it has the words ilin mitzrinoha? At the beginning, Beryl would be writing for Shmerel, these are the borders, and then he would be describing the borders. On the upper border, it's here, on the lower border, it's this, on the left border, it's that, and on the right border, it's Metzar ara demina palga or Metzar ara demina psika. Now, since he's describing all the borders in the shtar, there's no reason for him to have this line of ilin mitzrinoha, these are the borders. It's obvious that these are what the borders are. So it must be that he's writing this line, ilin mitzrinoha, for a real purpose, and we're interpreting that to mean that he means to give half of the field, regardless of if he wrote palga or psika. But if he didn't write these extra words, ilin mitzrinoha, so we understand that he's selling him the minimal amount possible, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if he uses the lasha in palga or psika, he's only selling him tisha kabin and not half of the field. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with more discussions regarding selling a field. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.